By looking at her face, I knew something was wrong. Normally, she was smiling, but a serious, sober look had replaced the smile. When she spoke, she said, "My cousin just spoke in tongues, and she says it's in the Bible, and therefore I should do it. What do I do? What do I say to my cousin?" The modern phenomena of speaking in tongues has swept the country. Perhaps more fascinating, it has jumped denominational lines. Nearly all the major denominations have been affected. Roman Catholics, Episcopalians, Lutherans, preeminently so. Books, conventions, TV programs, and even TV networks propagate and promote speaking in tongues. The popularity of the movement, combined with an influence of a particular individual who is involved in it, puts pressure on non-tongue-speaking Christians. They ask, what is it? What was speaking in tongues in the New Testament? Should I speak in tongues today? After examining what the New Testament teaches about tongues, then what is said can be compared with tongue speaking today. So let's begin with looking at tongues in the New Testament. Seven simple statements summarize what the scriptures say about tongues. Number one, tongues are a language. The phenomena of tongues only occurs in three books of the New Testament, Mark, Acts, and 1 Corinthians. In each case, it was a known human language. It was unknown to the speaker, but understood by the hearers, because it was their language. In Mark 16:17, tongues are a language. The Greek word translated tongues means the physical organ of the tongue, that piece of meat between your teeth, or a language, as it is used in Revelation 5:9. In the book of Acts, tongues are a language. Just read Acts 2, verses 4, 6, and 8. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And then we are told in verse 8, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we are born? What could be clearer? The languages are listed. Just open your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2, and read verses 9 through 12. This is the first occurrence of tongues, and the only place where tongues are defined and described. Therefore, every time the word tongues appears in the book of Acts, and for that matter the New Testament, it is a language. Let me illustrate. If you came to my house for dinner, and early in the evening I used the term gobbledygook and told you that was the name of my car, then every time I use that term that evening, and probably every time thereafter, you would have every right to assume that I was referring to my car, especially if I never changed the definition. Likewise, the first time tongues occurs, it is defined. It is never redefined. So it is logical to conclude that tongues in Acts and in the New Testament refer to languages. In 1 Corinthians, tongues are a language. In the first place, the same Greek word that was used in Mark and Acts is used in 1 Corinthians. Keep in mind, Luke and Paul were traveling companions. Therefore, they no doubt used the same word the same way. Moreover, Paul actually wrote the Corinthian letter about 57 AD, and later Luke wrote Acts about 61 AD. Paul used the term, and Luke followed suit. The difference is that Luke defined it. In 1 Corinthians 14:21, Paul says, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord." End of quote. In discussing tongues in 1 Corinthians, Paul quotes Isaiah 28, verses 10 through 11. The tongues in Isaiah are clearly languages, particularly the languages of the Assyrians and the Babylonians. The objection to tongues in 1 Corinthians being languages is that Paul spoke about speaking with the tongues of men and angels in 1 Corinthians 13:1. But every time an angel spoke, it's in a known human language, either Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek. So the first point that needs to be made is that tongues are a language. The second is that tongues are not for everyone. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:28 through 30. Paul asks, "Are all apostles?" The obvious answer is no. The English implies that, but the Greek demands a negative answer. Likewise, in that list, Paul asks, "Do all speak in tongues?" And again, in context and in the Greek text, the answer is no. Third, tongues are for a sign to unbelieving Jews. In 1 Corinthians 14:21 and 22, Paul says, "It is written, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people. And yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves for them that believe not, but for them that believe." End of quote. This is the only passage in the New Testament that gives the purpose of tongues. It says that it is for this people, that is the Jews, and that they did not believe. Therefore, based on 1 Corinthians 14:21 and 22, it can be asserted that tongues are for a sign to unbelieving Jews. The first time I heard this, I thought to myself, but Corinth is a Greek city. Then I took a tour of the Holy Land, including Greece. When we got to Corinth, the guide said there were 18,000 Jews living in Corinth at the time of Paul. There were Jews at Corinth. Number four, tongues speaking is limited to three. In 1 Corinthians 14:27, Paul says, "If any man speaks in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most three." End of quote. In the public assembly, that is the church service, Paul says no more than three were to speak in tongues. By the way, all the tongues in the New Testament are public. There is no such thing as a private tongues in the New Testament. The whole context of 1 Corinthians 14 is the assembly, the church service. Number five, only one may speak in tongues at a time. Paul says, quote, "and that by course," 1 Corinthians 14:27. This is in keeping with his insistence that everything be done decently and in order, 1 Corinthians 14:40. Number six, there must be an interpreter. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:27, "let one interpret." So strong is Paul on this that he says that if there's not an interpreter, then they should shut up. Now that's putting it strongly, but that's what he says. This is in line with his whole contention that things be done unto edification. Just read 1 Corinthians 14 and notice how many times that is referred to. Number seven, tongues are not to be spoken by women. Paul dogmatically asserts, quote, "let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also says the law." 1 Corinthians 14:34. The whole context of 1 Corinthians 14 is tongue speaking and prophesying. Paul is saying that no women are to prophesy or speak in tongues in a church service. Now, what I've done is lay out seven things the New Testament says about tongues. What we need to do is compare that with the phenomena that's called speaking in tongues today. For example, tongues today are not languages. To my knowledge, no tongue speaker has ever proven to an objective, independent linguist that he or she has spoken in a known human language, or that he or she had not previously learned it. On the other hand, when tests are conducted, it is concluded that tongues are not a language. For example, Dr. Larson, a professor of linguistics, studied the tongues movement of today, and here is what he concluded, quote, "I have spent 25 years in the study of the teaching of languages, including Greek, Latin, Hebrew," and he lists a number of others, "and as many as nine. On one occasion, not long ago, several samples of glossalia, that's tongues, were collected under my supervision. Produced in private, they were recorded, and the one speaking in tongues knew what would be done with them, but did not object. These utterances were typical of those found elsewhere. After transcribing the text, I analyzed them by the standard of linguistic techniques and procedures. When a linguist tries to determine whether or not verbal or vocal noises are languages, he checks them against the list of 16 features present in all languages. If all 16 are present, he concludes that the noises are the result of language. If not, he concludes that they are caused by something else. After discussing the 16 items in detail, Dr. Larson goes on to say, quote, "It is evident that glossolalia lacks many of the defining features of language. As from my own view, I see glossolalia as pre-language or advanced babbling." Another recognized linguist applied his professional skills to the study of speaking in tongues, and he wrote a book entitled Tongues of Men and Angels. The jacket advertised the book as a controversial and sympathetic analysis of speaking in tongues. His conclusion is, in spite of the superficial similarities, glossolalia is fundamentally not a language. In his work, 83% were convinced that their tongues were a real language, but it could not be proven that they were. If tongues today are a human language, where is the objective, independent, documented proof? Tongues today are not a language, and that is contrary to Scripture. Tongue advocates today teach that tongues are for everyone. Traditional Pentecostalism teaches that every Christian should speak in tongues. In fairness, it needs to be pointed out that some charismatics recognize that tongues are not for everyone. But the tongues movement as a whole, by and large, preaches that tongues are for everyone. That is contrary to Scripture. Tongues teachers today say that every Christian should have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that tongues are for a sign to unbelieving Jews. The tongues movement today teaches they are a sign for believing Christians. According to them, if one seeks the baptism of the Holy Spirit and receives it, the sign will be speaking in tongues. That is contrary to Scripture. In many cases today, speaking in tongues is not limited to three. Paul taught the Corinthians that tongues in a public meeting should be limited to three. Hundreds and thousands of tongue speakers have violated this clear command of the Word of God. In many cases today, speaking in tongues is not limited to one at a time. Paul demanded that only one speak in tongues at a time. But in many meetings today where speaking in tongues is practiced, everyone speaks in tongues at the same time. That clearly is contrary to the scripture. Tongue speakers today sometimes do not have an interpreter. The scripture is clear. There must be an interpreter. Yet in most cases today, there is the so-called practice of speaking in tongues without an interpreter. Some Pentecostalists and charismatics have attempted to obey this injunction of scripture, but most have failed at this point. Women today speak in tongues, and as I pointed out earlier, Paul clearly says no women are to speak in tongues in a public assembly. The conclusion is this. When comparing tongues in the New Testament with those mentioned today, they are not the same thing. Tongues in the New Testament were a language spoken for a sign to unbelieving Jews. The gift was not for every Christian. When practiced in the assembly, it had to be used according to Paul's restrictions. Tongues today are gibberish, said to be a sign for receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or a prayer language. So to sum up, and simply put, the modern phenomena of speaking in tongues is not the same as the speaking in tongues in the New Testament. The tongues movement today misunderstands, misinterprets, and misapplies scripture. For example, many tongues promoters say that Romans 8:26 is a reference to tongues. Let me read you that verse. Paul says, "The Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered." End of quote. Please note, the text of Romans 8:26 clearly says, "can not be uttered," meaning it can't be spoken out loud. Yet, that is the verse used by tongue advocates to talk about tongues. They mishandle that verse as well as every other passage on tongues in the New Testament.